For all the talk of economic sanctions, apparently the U.S. government does not frown, at least officially, on Americans going to North Korea to spend money. For a short time this year, the North Koreans have lifted a ban on Americans, and a number of travel companies are organizing tours. Walter Keats is president of Asia Pacific Travel, one of the companies that organizes these trips. He's been to North Korea four times. In the past, it's been very spur of the moment.
What's different about this year is that they've given us advance notice, and they haven't really opened the doors completely. I mean, it's not, if you want to go today, you can't go. You can only go during this little window here, about 2 months long, from August 10th through October 10th, which is when they're having this big performance. And so they want to fill the stadium and that sort of stuff, and they want a few token foreigners there.
I'm going to ask you about the mass games in just a minute, but before that, how do these tours work?
Smoothly. Basically,
or so you hope.
Basically, you have to go to Beijing because you need a visa, and the easiest place for most of us is to go to Beijing, where they have an embassy, and then you fly from Beijing to Pyongyang.
Once you get in the country, are the tourists constantly chaperoned, shadowed everywhere they go?
Well, more or less. You know, we go to various sites. You get out, you walk around, and all that. But you know, it's not like you can just go off and make a reservation for a restaurant by yourself in the evening, or go walk in the streets. The official rules are, in general, you're not supposed to leave the hotel without one of your guides. And everybody, even if you're just you know, one or two people, you will have two guides. So I presume that one of them is checking on the other one, I guess. It's quite obvious that it's all controlled. I mean, you're not just walking the streets meeting locals. And in fact, we actually would even discourage that, frankly. Our zeal to go and meet the locals could actually have serious consequences for these local people. I mean, if you go out in the street and you go start talking to somebody, whether or not they speak English, you can go back to the hotel, but some security person may go up to them later, the North Korean, and sort of say, what were you talking to the foreigner about? Did they give you something, et cetera? And so they could actually get into trouble.
One of the big attractions right now are those mass games that you mentioned earlier. Tell us about that.
Mm-hmm. They really are pretty impressive. They have 100,000 performers, which is just huge. I mean, I can't think of anything that artistic performance that's going on in the world or has gone in recent times with that number of people. Basically, you're in a stadium with 150,000 seats, which is bigger than any other one in the world, as far as I'm aware. You sit on one side, and on the other side, there are 20,000 high school students with colored cards who make these pictures, images and stuff. And then other tens of thousands of performers are out in the field doing various artistic and gymnastic and song and dance, all kinds of these sorts of things. I mean, when I say mass games, I'm not sure where that term came from, but it really is sort of a misnomer. It really is a mass artistic and gymnastic performance. But it's really superb, probably one of the highlights of the trip.
It sounds like almost like a Super Bowl halftime show.
Mm, but on steroids.
Aha!
I mean, 100,000 performers.
Beyond those mass games, what's the top attraction?
In this 2002, when I went, I actually took my wife and daughter. My daughter was 16 at the time. We had her read Animal Farm on the way over, and well, I actually have a picture of her reading 1984 while she was in Pyongyang. This is probably as close as you're going to get to a 1984 society. And when you see this cult of personality for Kim Il-sung and stuff, Kim Jong-il, the son, I think it's something that should be seen. I mean, that's why we took our daughter. You know, I mean, one would hope that the world in the future will be freedom and democracy for all, that kind of stuff, maybe. But I think it's important that people have seen, you know, let's say the dark side. You know, we don't have big statues here or in most Western countries of our leaders, that people go and put flowers there and literally bow and cry and stuff like that. We haven't embalmed our leaders. These bodies are embalmed as almost like a religious object that people go to, and to the local people who have been almost taught that this is a God-type thing. It's a very emotional thing. So, but to see that and realize the strength of this system's hold on their minds, I think is an important thing to have people see.
It may sound pat to ask this, but do you bring back souvenirs?
Well, you know, it's really sad. There really are not lots of things worth buying that they got alcohol, cigarettes, medicinal products, but I mean, I bought a straw hat on the last trip there, but that was about it.
Well, thanks so much for talking to us.
No problem.
Walter Keats is the president of Asia Pacific Travel, that's based in Kenilworth, Illinois.